reached a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to comment on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the public hearings as scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are also being simultaneously broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by Sussex County in its deliberations. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meetings to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we will ask to hear from people who are participating remotely through the call-in number. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence for anyone speaking on the phone. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. If there is more than one witness in favor of or in opposition to the application, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. Please understand that it is the quality of the testimony, not the quantity of it, that is persuasive. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, the commission may take action on the application or defer it until a later date. Once the record is closed, the commission, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, or other conversations or communications about the application. The commission's decision will be based solely on the record from the public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Our first public hearing is Subdivision 2022-06, Emily Sloan Trust.
This is a standard subdivision to divide multiple parcels containing 4.57 acres plus or minus into six single family lots. To be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, the property is lying on the north side of Cedar Lane and Pine Water Drive and on the southeast side of Blackberry Lane with access off Sloan's Lane, approximately 0.44 mile east of Multiflora Drive. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 17.12, parcels 99.01, 99.02, 99.03, and 99.04, and the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, we have a copy of the staff review letter, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of the applicant's legal description, we have a copy of comments received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, we have a copy of the TAC comments that have been received, including comments from the State Fire Marshal's Office. In total, we've received 23 letters in opposition, although some of those, Mr. Chairman, do appear to be duplicates. We have received one petition in opposition containing 97 signatures. We received one letter from Mr. Rogers, which is included in the packet, and one letter from the Pine Water Civic Association, in addition to several mail returns. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application? Okay, come up, give us your name, you may have the floor.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Linda Sloan.
My name is Sam Sloan. We
pull that microphone down a little bit.
Sure.
There you go.
You got it? Linda Sloan?
Sam Sloan. Right. We represent and we are co-trustees of the Amelie Sloan Trust.
Okay.
Also with us tonight is Dominic Agresta, who is the surveyor of record and provided the subdivision plan.
Okay.
The purpose of this resubdivision is to settle my mother's estate and represent the three beneficiaries of this estate. The proposal revises the subdivision plan, as Mr. Whitehouse has said, approved July 26, 2004, consisting of four lots, two large dogleg lots of 1.45 acres and 1.67 acres respectively, and two other lots of 32,264 square feet and 30,928 square feet respectively.
So what I have up on the screen here is the where we're starting from. This was the plan developed in 2004 by my mother-in-law, and you can see the issue that we have are these dog, what we term dogleg lots. They come down, Heron Creek is up here, I don't know if you see, and you come down, this is her house, and it takes a left turn, boom, over to Pinewater Drive. The same way with the lot that's next to her, it comes back from the creek, takes a left turn, boom, oops, over to Pinewater Drive. The new proposal for the new does not change any of these boundaries on the creek or any of these boundaries up in this area. Our big issue is these dog legs that come from behind.
The purpose of the resubdivision is to redesign these awkward large dog leg lots into more reasonably designed lots. These lots were created by my mother in 2004 because she believed she needed the road frontage on Pinewater Drive to create access to both the farmhouse lot and the guest house lot. Since the two lots at the entrance of Sloan's Lane were to eventually be owned by others, she was afraid she would lose the access to her house via Sloan's Lane. And so she created these two dogleg lots, each with 150 feet on Pinewater Drive, to assure that she would always have access to her house.
Okay, so what you're looking at in this picture is Sloan's Lane. That's right here in the middle. It comes in past the barn, and this is her house. At the time in 2004, the lot at the entrance at Blackberry and Sloan's Lane, where she would enter and exit, was owned by Jack Sloan, which was her stepson. So that was absolutely deeded to him in 1972, I believe. The lot on the other side of Sloan's Lane, this one, was in the works that eventually he would own that as well. So basically, he would have owned this whole strip, you know, from, you know, the water going back across Sloan's Lane, current Sloan's Lane, and she was very concerned. She was 85 years old. She was concerned she'd lose access to her house. And so she created the dog legs, which at the time, back in 2004, you had to have 150, as I understand it, you had to have 150 feet on a roadway. So she created them.
The another goal of this resubdivision is to reattach the guest house lot to the farmhouse, incorporating the guest house on the same lot as the farmhouse.
Okay, so as we look at the current drawing of what we have now, this is the guest house. This is the little barn that's next to it. You have about, Sam and I haven't taken a tape measure, but I would say 25 feet between them. They're very close. You can just see by this, they're very close. And the current lot line goes right in between like that. So that's what it's currently is where we are.
We are planning to allow exclusive access to the farmhouse using an implied easement along Sloan's Lane. After her death, we obtained a legal opinion from attorney David Hutt that Sloan's Lane allows access only to the farmhouse via Sloan's Lane.
Right.
Access to any new lots will be on a state-maintained road. The new plat will allow for an additional two lots of minimum square footage of 20,000 square feet.
Okay, so here is, whoops, what is happening here? I want to show you the new plat.
There it is.
So here it is.
I have to turn it around a little bit.
This is her house. Whoops. Sorry. This is the creek. Okay, and as you can see, as we stated before, these lot measurements on the side here do not change. What changes is that we wanted to cut off these dog legs going to the left, you know, coming down here towards Pinewater and Cedar Lane. So, as you can see, what has been drawn is that we have now relocated. This is her house. This is a small barn, a barn, and this is the guest cottage. We now have relocated, by this drawing, the guest cottage on one lot for family. So this will be all family, and it will be on one lot. The rest of them have been subdivided out. Some are half acre. There are, I think, about four half acre lot, not five, four. And then this lot has not changed on the creek or anything, but we just continued it to go back so that it can access from Cedar Lane. This little striped part right here, this is Sloan's Lane, and according to Attorney Hutt, we do have an implied easement that can never, you know, be blocked getting access back to her house.
The following are the considerations to be included in Section 99-9C of the County Code for approval of this re-subdivision. One, integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. This proposal will improve the existing subdivision by providing better designed and maintained subdivision lots fronting on existing Pinewater Drive and Cedar Lane in Pinewater Farm Subdivision. Two, minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. This subdivision will not change existing impact on wetlands and floodplains along Herring Creek, as the additional lots will front on Pinewater Drive and Cedar Lane. Three, preservation of natural and historic features. There's an old barn and outbuildings that will remain, except for the small barn on Lot 3, which will be removed. Preservation of open space and scenic views. The subdivision will not interfere with the generous adjacent 4-acre open space recreation area on Pinewater Farm. Minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil remover and grade changes. The property is now open and mowed. The new subdivision will not disturb existing soil nor grade changes. Obviously, when constructing a new house, soil will be disturbed and likely more landscaping will be added. Six, screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. There are no objectionable features as area is residential and recreational. Provision for water supply is seven. This subdivision will allow for private wells, as is the case in all of Pinewater Farm. This re-subdivision will add two additional wells. Provision for sewage disposal. Central sewer is presently being installed in Pinewater Farm, and lots will be connected to public sewer. Nine, prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. Homeowners will be required to comply with county soil erosion and sedimentation controls during any construction activity. 10. Minimization of erosion sedimentation, minimization of changes in groundwater levels, minimization of increased rates of runoff, minimization of potential for flooding and design of drainage so that groundwater recharge is maximized. Homeowners will comply with erosion sedimentation controls, which will minimize flooding potential changes in groundwater level. 11. Provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. The subdivision will rely on existing state-maintained roadways, Cedar Lane and Pine Water Drive. Driveways will comply with DLDOT requirements. There will be an additional maximum of 2 driveways for lot access. 12, effect on property values. Minimum lot sizes are consistent with the Sloan Family subdivision at the western end of Pine Water Drive. 11 lots were approved by Sussex County in April 22. County sewers being installed in Pinewater Farm. The newer homes built on these lots will be consistent with homes existing on Pinewater Farm. There are currently over 8% of Pinewater Farm lots that approximate 1/2 acre. Preservation and conservation of farmland. Pinewater Farm, once agricultural, has been subdivided and developed into residential lots in the 70s and 80s. Farming on this property stopped in the 70s. This subdivision is consistent with the Pinewater Farm neighborhood. 14, effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Future lot owners will be required to join the Pinewater Civic Association. Current dues are $200 per year. 15, effect on area roadways and public transportation. Driveways will comply with DLDOT requirements. 2 additional houses should not have a significant effect on area roadways. 16, compatibility with other area land uses. This re-subdivision is consistent with Pinewater Farm residential land use. Effect on area waterways. There are no new waterfront lots proposed on Herring Creek. We are settling in a state. We would like to keep the family farmhouse and guest cottage together on one lot. This makes sense since the barn and cottage are in such proximity as we showed in the picture. We do not want to have large expansive areas to maintain and mow. We realize the residents of Pinewater Farm do not want change. They would like to keep things as they have been for 50 years, but they are not paying the bills to maintain this property. The community says that all lots are large. My wife and I own a lot that existed in the original design development back in 1972. There's a little over 20,000 square feet. There are other waterfront lots of this size that predate the 1972 plat along Pinewater Drive. We think 20,000 square foot lots, which are almost 1/2 acre, will fit in with the current design of Pinewater Farm. As stated before, there are currently over 8% of Pinewater Farm lots that are approximately 1/2 acre.
So Sam and I went through all the maps that we have in our voluminous files, and we came up and looked at Pinewater Farm and what the square footage, because I know the residents feel that everything is 3/4 acre. But in essence, the acres, the lots that I have little dots, because I was afraid that the yellow highlighter wouldn't show up, I dotted them. On Waterside Drive, which is part of Pinewater Farm and is always shown on the maps, there's some on this side. Our lot is up here. There are some coming down this side that are, you know, around the half acre size and up this side. So it's not unusual. Plus, as Sam had stated, the Sloan Family subdivision, which was approved April 28th of 2022 by this county, this area was developed into 11 lots, and those 11 lots are half acre.
We are members of the Pinewater Civic Association. Our names, Sam and Linda Sloan, are on the Pinewater list of residents with all the contact information you would need to contact us. Only 2 residents from this community have contacted me with any questions regarding this re-subdivision before petitions were sent out. I have paid my dues for many years and respect and have enjoyed the progress that the residents of Pinewater have made for the community. I grew up on this farm and know the farm long before it was developed. They say that these proposed extra 2 lots are the proverbial center of the community. We disagree with that. We think the over 4 acres, mostly waterfront and open space, that my father, Sam Sloan, donated to the Pinewater Civic Association is the proverbial center of the community. This is part of the farm that he designed as open space. That prime location for the open space is where the pavilion is located and where all meetings and picnics are conducted.
It's coming up here. This is a picture of the area that my father-in-law had donated to the Pinewater Civic Association. Like we said, it's around 4 acres. About half of it is waterfront, and they enjoy it. They can go down. There's a basketball court. There's a pavilion. There's various areas that the residents can enjoy. You can see we just had a meeting this past Saturday. I think it was the past Saturday. Anyway, this is part of the pavilion that is there, along with the children's rec area. Across the road from here is another part of the rec area that, in fact, my father-in-law had given to the Pine Waters Civic Association. So I think the residents, you know, I think we'd all agree that this is a wonderful area for residents to enjoy, and we're glad that they have it. They take good care of it as well.
One more slide.
Okay. This picture, I just wanted to let you know, I was standing at the pavilion, and I was taking, okay, well, how far away is what we're talking about with these extra two lots that we're proposing? If you go up here to the line of trees right here across this branch, line of trees, you can see that gray building. That's the cottage. So basically, this is Cedar Lane right here, right along those trees. That's a tree lined. And then this would be on the other side, you know, the other side of Cedar Lane, and Pine Winter Drive wraps around this way. So that's a visual of where the rec area is. And we don't feel that, you know, my mother-in-law's house and the barns and her cottage are the premier location, although everybody is very wedded to them because they've been around for so long, as we are. But the proverbial location and the wonderful recreation and open space area is this area that my father-in-law had given to the Pine Water Civic Association back in the
80s?
90s. Or 80s or 70s, I don't know.
We respectfully request you consider this proposed re-subdivision. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
All right. We thank you. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Don't go
away.
All right. What's going to happen now is we're going to give the commission an opportunity to ask you some questions,
mm-hmm.
okay, if you don't mind. And we're going to start with Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
The first question is for Mr. Robertson. If they change it so that they have two houses on one lot, does that make them in non-compliance? For Mr. Whitehouse,
I'm going to defer to Mr. Whitehouse, I think, but it's going to depend on what's in that second structure.
Yeah. It's a guest house.
It's a guest house.
Yeah,
it would be a corn crib.
Correct. Uh-huh. So as long as it can be used for accommodation, it just can't have its own kitchen. As soon as it has its own kitchen, it becomes a dwelling, and then we have multiple dwellings on the parcel. But there is a path to request approval for that.
We understand that, and we will be doing that.
And then you would have access to the one lot on Sloan's Lane, which cuts across the one lot you're trying to make here. And would you have an agreement in place as to who maintains that road?
We would have the easement. The implied easement would be.
You need more than an implied easement, you need an actual easement.
Well, we could have, everyone knows, we have let the property owners know that this Sloan's Lane is for the exclusive use of the farmhouse, so that agreement can be put in place if needed.
We will have to have a maintenance agreement, but it's ours just for the farmhouse.
Okay.
The lot that's between the farmhouse lot and the end lots, you know, basically that have been also that lot where you can see the barn here. Really, the only people that really should traverse Sloan's Lane are the people that are visiting the farmhouse or living there. And if whoever owns that long lot really has to access that lot from Cedar Lane, not
right.
from Sloan's Lane.
Right.
Well,
so we will have a maintenance agreement with ourselves, you know, to maintain that.
Either way, Sloan's Lane is not on your property, and you'll have to get that.
Right.
Make sure
understood.
That is a legal.
We understand that.
So. Understood.
Because there was conversation about what sort of easement you have now. You may have an implied easement or prescriptive easement. That may is a big word. You know, there's additional steps that have to be taken to actually get that. And I don't think the commission would necessarily rely on a may. They're going to require an easement if this is to be approved
mm-hmm.
with a shared maintenance agreement. So,
that Those are all my questions for now.
Okay, all right, Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Okay, Ms. Wingate?
Maybe I missed it in the package, but do you have your soil evaluation report in here to show that the wells?
I would refer to Dominic. Dominic, do you know anything about the soil?
Mr. Regressa, if you're going to speak, I need you to come to the podium, introduce yourself, please. Not that you're unknown, but the machinery won't recognize you.
Yes, I'm Dominic Regressa. I'm the surveyor record. And as it's, at this time, I don't believe that we've gotten anything forwarded for soil evaluations because central sewer is being proposed in that area.
What about for the wells? It's a private well, right? I think that's what you...
Private well.
To be private wells, yes.
So all of Pine Water Farm is private well.
So do you have soil evaluation being done on that to show that the wells would perk?
Don't
they need to be perked or not perked, but...
Not for the well conditions, no. We just have to apply for permits.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought they had to be...
Oh, that's my... That's, well, would, are you dividing this so that there's a well on one property? Is the well and the house all in one property?
Yes.
Okay. That would be...
That was the only question I had, and it was a dumb one, so... That's all I have for now.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mears?
No questions, sir.
Okay. Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
None for me, thanks.
Okay, just to recap. How many lots are there now? How many lots do you
Four.
Have now? Four. How many are you going to have if you get your way?
Six.
So we're talking about two more lots than we're allowed there now. Is that
That's
right?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-06 Emily Sloan Trust? Okay. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? And is the opposition, is there any opposition that is represented by counsel? I'm suspecting there is.
There is, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, members of the commission, counsel. I am Bruce Rogers. I represent the Pine Water Civic Association, and I rise tonight to address the application of Mr. and Mrs. Sloan. I did find it interesting, as we were talking about the earlier part of the agenda, there had been some concern raised by the commission that people should really get what they've paid for and we shouldn't be engaged in the bait and switch. This is a lengthy community. This is a well-settled community now in Sussex County. It's an older community itself. Even if we're taking into consideration what Ms. Sloan may have said about only 8% of the lots would be 20,000 square feet or less, I would note that of those lots, all of them are on the outskirts of the community or part of the new addition which came in just recently. Almost all of the lots are between 30 and 34,000 square feet. As a matter of fact, in one of the exhibits that we have attached that Mr. Whitehouse has, there is an original brochure from Mr. Sloan when he created Pinewater Community, and he said, and I quote, "A community with spacious lots between 30 and 34,000 square feet, enough for both a home and a large garden." He also noted the restrictions to protect property values and rights of the property owners. If we are to adopt the proposal which is submitted by Mr. and Mrs. Sloan, really what happens is this puts these new lots, smaller lots, in the midst of the community. As you look at the pictures and you look at the map that the Sloans have put up, what has happened is we're putting more lots in the midst of this developed community, right in the center of the community, as we've noted, within direct views of the common elements, common spaces. It's going to change the look of the community, adversely impacting the surrounding neighborhoods. It will be in the middle of all surrounding lots. You're going to go from 4 to 6, and they're all going to be about 20,000 square feet. I would note, as Mr. Whitehouse had said, the number is 97. We believe that all but three residents within the Pine Water community signed in opposition to this application. And the three who did not sign, one was a realtor associated with the project, and two were Sloan members, Sloan family members. Interestingly enough, and my clients have done most of the work, I simply stand here to get to present this, but they found a 1985 memoir written by Mr. Sam Sloan, who was the founder. It was written in 1985. But on page 46 of that memoir, which is in the record before you, it says between 1955 and 1965, Sam mentioned selling 45 lots of at least 3/4 acre in size. And that same parcel, which is this parcel that we're talking about right now, on page 57 of the memoir, Mr. Sloan wrote, "Our four children were deeded jointly the 8 acres described above. The only restriction we insisted on was that if it was disposed of, that if it was ever sold as lots, then the lots must be 3/4 acre in size to conform to this restriction." It should be noted that just this past week, as Mr. Sloan has indicated, both the Sloans and the Sloan Trust have paid all of their dues to the Pine Water Civic Association. One of the things the commission talked about earlier this evening is the concept, and Mr. Robertson will certainly talk about it a little more, I'm sure, but the concept of detrimental reliance. When you move into a community, as all of these folks have done, these 97 residents who have signed this, with the understanding, the expectation that the lots are going to be between 30 and 34,000 square feet, three-quarter acre lots, and now we're going to take six lots in the middle of what this area is going to be and reduce the size of those lots, you're going to carve out this parcel and you're going to make it a far different use and a far different parcel than what we've had. The access issue seems to be something that Mr. Hutt got himself involved in back in 2020, I believe, and Mr. Hutt has addressed the issue for you, and that's also part of the record about the implied easement and how that will resolve itself. The community itself has indicated through me and wishes to advise the commission that they do not wish to stand in the way of the right of the property owners for their property rights. However, the way in which the applicant has chosen to exercise these rights and the preferences are to the detriment of the entire neighborhood and the whole community. If we look at the history and the deeds, the sales brochures, the maps, the letters, the custom and the practice, the parcel in question is certainly part of the Pinewater Farms community. It was always the intent of all the lots in Pinewater to be between 30 and 34,000 square feet. So the application, as it presently stands, is opposed. But the community said that if the applicant would amend the submission to create four lots of between 30 and 34,000 square feet, in keeping with the balance of the lots around it, that the easement issue could be resolved, it would be consistent with the entire community, that it protects the values of the rest of the neighborhood as it surrounds, and it actually could create a waterfront lot, which would substantially increase the dollars generated from the development. I respectfully submit to you that the issue about somehow this resolves or is related to the settlement of an estate is not really a land use question. That's a question between the heirs, and that's something that they'll probably try to find themselves out. And finally, as the exhibit was noted with a new addition that came just a couple of years later, I would note that it's a little different because this was added to the Pinewater community. This was not like this one right directly in the middle of the Pinewater community. As you can see from the record, there are lots of exhibits that have been attached, and the record is rather replete from the opposition, limited opposition, I would say, from the rest of the Homeowners Association. So for the reasons that have been set forth, not only here tonight from me and also with the record that you have before you, we'd ask that you would deny the application as it is submitted. We would not, however, object to four lots of between 30 and 34,000 square feet. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Commissioners, any questions?
No, my one question was, would you be happy if they divided it? Would you be accept different lot configuration at a different size?
So. Yes, ma'am.
They would.
Yes.
Yes.
That was it. So.
All right, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Mr. Sloan, we don't allow rebuttal at our
no, meeting. No, not rebutting. I have additional information. Hang
on for a second. We'll get back to you. Let these folks have their turn.
Good evening, members of the committee. My name is John Huckel, and I've lived at 9 Pinewater Drive for over 50 years, directly across the road from the property being discussed today. The property is the remaining land of Pinewater Farm Development, containing the Sloan House, farm buildings, and building lots. It is adjacent to the Pinewater Farms community area, which contains a pavilion, boat ramp, and open area, the heart of Pinewater Farm. This land under discussion today has 3/4 acre building lots, as all other building lots of Pinewater Farm Development. The desire to reduce the lot size to 1/2 acre is completely out of character with Pinewater Farms. The design is poorly laid out, chopping the area into irregular shapes, and actually eliminating the ability to have a waterfront lot. It makes no sense at all. The small half-acre lots would require houses jammed together, completely out of character with the very openness of Pinewater Farm. The layout would produce less financial gain to the Sloan Trust, which is the whole gain of the Sloan Trust. The trust owners, besides their youth, have never lived at Pinewater Farm, and demonstrate complete disrespect for the nice open layout of the whole of the Pinewater Farm development. Therefore, I highly petition the committee, the Planning and Zoning Committee, to reject the requested change from 4 building lots to 6, so that Pinewater will continue to remain a nice open area community. Thank you.
All right, sir, thank you. All right, who else would like to speak?
Thank you.
Hi, Kirk Christensen, 25 Pinewater Drive. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. We heard a voice from residents been there for quite some time. I can represent a voice of resident who's been here for about 5 years, so much shorter time period. Longer-term resident of Sussex County, but my wife and I moved into Pinewater Farms, frankly, for the appearance of the community, for that sense of a nice size lots, for the just the overall community feel. And when we see something like this happening, frankly, we have enough of that going on in the rest of the area. We know that. I've heard a lot of these already tonight. And I think the ask here is just to maintain consistency. I think it's a reasonable compromise. We all want something in this case. I get it. Having 4 lots, I believe, is a reasonable compromise. It maintains the integrity of the community that we live in right now. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, who's next? Anyone else? Okay, going once, twice. Okay, operator, is there anyone standing by electronically who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2022-06, Emily Sloan Trust?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is open.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm playing with Sussex County, just testing the line.
Thank you, Ashley. We hear you loud and clear. We're glad to know that the line is working. Operator, is there anyone else standing by? We actually do that every time. Every meeting we have to test the line because we don't want anybody to be shut out because they couldn't get through. Operator, anyone else standing by?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is currently no one who wishes to speak.
Okay, commissioners, any further questions?
Thank you.
Okay, before we close the public hearing, if we could just take a show of hands of people here who are opposed to the application. This is our way of letting you know that you've been heard.
Wait, hold on, leave him up.
Oh, no, keep, leave him up. We got to count him. Listen, he's a lawyer, not a mathematician. He's probably going to take his shoes and socks off before we're done. So,
Mr. Rogers, you better hold your hand up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and those in favor, obviously the applicant, if there are any others who are in favor, let me assure the applicant that this is a fairly typical response because people usually, if they're okay with something, they don't show up. We get that. We take the count purely to acknowledge that these folks went out of their way to come here this evening to be heard and at least recognized, and it's our way of recognizing them, okay? And before we close the public hearing, we have additional business to do this evening. So what's going to happen is when I close the public hearing, you're all going to want to get up and leave. And what will happen is you're going to get up and you're going to start talking, okay? I'm going to ask you to not do the talking part, but to just get up and leave.
If you choose to.
If you choose to. Now, you are welcome to spend the rest of the evening with us to see if we make a decision. Okay, you're welcome to do that. So by all means, please feel free to to remain. We will be referring back to the application later. Mr. Sloan, if you've got a question or concern, I'm going to direct you to Mr. Whitehouse, okay, after we close the public hearing.
Additional information was brought to my attention regarding the application, regarding the easement.
Well, at this point, you know, that's what the rules say. There's no chance for rebuttal.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's the rules of the commission and the way that they're put together. We don't, and that would be rebuttal because it was something that was prompted by something that was placed.
No, something was brought to my attention here at Plymouth Row.
Because it wasn't a rebuttal.
Okay, I'm afraid we can't allow it. I'm sorry. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.